Are you lost in wrestling? Can't find a good match as clearly? Well, stop looking and start listening. Everything is about to become crystal clear because you have now entered Wrestling Clarity with your host, Andre C.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the newest edition of Wrestling Clarity here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network with me, your host, Andre C. First off, today I want to speak about Virgil Reynolds, a.k.a. Dusty Rhodes. I want to send my prayers and my condolences to his entire family. He was an inspiration in this business. Losing this man is a very sad thing. You can see his influence in the NXT product by almost every NXT superstar tweeting out how sad they were about the man passing away. He has done many great things in his business. Some odd things he has done. He was the creator of the War Games match, the Great American Bash concept, the WCW early and mid-80s version, the Jim Crockett version, and he actually was the man who came up with the name Starrcade. I truly believe he will be missed by the entire wrestling community as a whole. He changed many lives, I know, and he gave us two great performers in this business, in Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. Goldust, and Cody Rhodes, right now known as Stardust. So, thank you, Dusty Rhodes, for everything you did for this business, and thank you for giving us what you've given us in this business. From here, I want to let you know, we are celebrating PWA Month on this network, and I have up next a great interview I got to conduct with my favorite wrestler in the world. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he is my favorite wrestler in the world. It's time for Inside the Wrestlers Live with my very special guest, God's gift to wrestling, Michael Richard Blaze.
This is Inside the Wrestlers Lives.
All right, I'm Andre C, and I'm sitting here in the house of Michael Richard Blaze. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And in the room is Connie.
Hi.
So, Mike, I want to talk to you about your career, growing up in the business, really. How old were you started?
I started when I was 13.
13 years old. That's and you're, what, 25 now?
Yep.
So that's 12 years in this business. And 12 years at 25 years old is pretty amazing.
It's almost half my life.
Yeah, that's you've committed your life to wrestling, essentially. So, where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in Calgary, Alberta, and that's where I grew up.
Okay.
Moved to Edmonton in 2010.
Okay. So, first time you ever saw wrestling, how old were you when you got into wrestling? When you watched it, saw it live?
I'm actually pretty sure my first memory as a child in my entire life is wrestling, because I remember I was at home and I was alone at the time when I was like only three. Like, I wasn't like alone. My dad was just like sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, you were at home, apparently. Yeah. You were just kind of
and up so on your own. I was flicking through channels and all of a sudden I saw Bret Hart come out, and so there I was, hooked instantly. Like, coolest looking guy, pink tights, and then they said he's from Calgary, Alberta.
Your hometown.
Yeah.
That's gonna be impressive, and we've seen pink on you a lot, so that's gonna have made an impression somewhere in your career. Who out of, like, say, any wrestler would probably be the biggest inspiration for you?
If I'm going just based off, like,
Inspired you to get into the business kind of deal.
Inspired me to get into the business would be Bret Hart.
Okay. So how did you get into wrestling? How did you go about getting into the business?
Well, what originally happened was I went to a Diana Hart book signing when I was 11, and she gave me the phone number to Matt Ratz because she thought I was, like, a really big kid for my age,
okay,
which I was, but not in a particularly good way. But anyway, so she gave me the Matt Ratz phone number, and I went online and found Matt Ratz. The week after I called, Matt Ratz closed.
Oh, okay.
So then I just kept going online all the time, and I was looking up independent wrestling. These Matt Ratz basically opened up indie wrestling to me.
Yeah.
And then I found a Stampede Wrestling show in 2003 that AJ Styles was going to be on, who at the time was my favorite wrestler. And
one of the best in the business, yeah.
Still is.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to that show, and after the show, I talked to Teddy Hart, who hooked me up with BJ's gym, and my grandparents paid for me to start training. They nice. Dropped $1,000 for me, and here I am now.
Nice. So I know you said I've heard in the past you've been trained by TJ Wilson, right? He was one of your main trainers. Just getting to watch him now, right where he is right now, it must be impressive just seeing where he's at now, from when he trained you till now, seeing what he's done in his career. Is it kind of just awesome to see the guy you trained you being that successful?
Whereas Bret Hart inspired me to get into wrestling, yeah. TJ is the one that inspires me like every day to keep pushing as hard as I do.
All
because
right.
everything I know and everything I am is based off what he taught me, and watching him on TV and knowing the struggles he went through, because I was around and I was his friend, like beginning to be his friend when he was like in the midst of getting his tryout and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Seeing what he's doing now is like, I can see how much it's worth it. Everything that I'm putting in now is worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've seen a friend go through it, yeah. So you get, now you know. Okay, so what promotions did you start out with when you got into business? Like, was there any early promotions? Like,
the first promotion I ever worked for was Stampede Wrestling.
Okay.
Which, it wasn't the Stampede ran by the Hearts at the time. It was ran by a guy named Bill Bell.
Okay.
So, I have to give Bill, TJ, and Duke Durango a lot of credit, because TJ was the one that went to bat for us and convinced Duke Durango and Bill to let us wrestle, because
under it, yeah,
they didn't want kids, right?
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, the only one of us that maybe looked athletic at all was Brandon.
Yeah.
And so, like, TJ convinced them, but if it wasn't for them agreeing and putting us on the shows every month, like, I would have not had a match until I was 18.
Yeah. Well, so you had people going to bat for you, that helps. So it really does. And when did you get in with PWA? You've worked for years now.
PWA was Night of Champions in 2007, because at the time, Stampede Wrestling closed down. And so there was like 3 months where me and Brandon, all we were doing was we were driving to Vancouver and lying about our age so we could wrestle out there. And then between Michael Avery, Marky Mark, Ravenous Randy, and then TJ actually sending Kurt a message while he was like down in developmental.
Okay.
He basically like was like, alright, I obviously have to give these kids a chance then, and booked us.
So I can honestly say, well, that means I've watched your entire career in PWA, because that was actually my first show I ever went to, was Night of Champions.
Oh, really?
In 07, yeah.
Crazy.
Okay, so I've gotten to see your entire career.
Yep.
I haven't missed that, or entire PWA career, anyways. That's fucking awesome. So, what's your like most positive experience out of those early years, those first few years getting to go to Vancouver? Was there like, what are the positives that came out of all that kind of stuff? Working Stampede and Vancouver and that kind of stuff?
I think the positives were just like getting to learn and work really hard, and like traveling with the guys was cool because you learn a lot just talking to them and hanging out with them, and you learn a lot about yourself and you grow up a lot.
Yeah.
Which like, for a kid my age, is a big thing. And then one of the best memories I have though is Young Lions Cup. It was the finals with me and Brandon Van Danielson, and that's like the one match that I can still watch back and say, okay, everything else I used to do I don't like anymore, but that match I'm still very proud of. And TJ even always says that it's like one of his favorite matches ever, just because it was like, me and Brandon were like, screw you guys, like, we're going to show you we are good and we have potential.
Nice. Nice. So, talking about Brandon Dennison, you guys worked as a tag team for, I know, early on in your PWA career at least. Do you think it was a positive getting to work with probably one of your close friends in this business, getting to work with him night in, night out, was that good for you, do you think, learning that way?
I think it was definitely good for me. I think it was good for him, too, because I honestly don't think either of us would be where we are right now, or I don't think we would be as good as we are, and we're weird. Like, I always tell him I think he's way better than me, and he always tells me he thinks I'm way better than him. And I don't think we would be at that level or anything if it wasn't us with each other working really hard, bouncing ideas off each other, and just, like, every time we wrestled each other, we wanted to steal the show. Every time we tagged with each other, we wanted to do a better tag match than anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense. You want to have, you have your, but you have your friend there to help you out if you really need it. Okay, so through your career, has there been many gimmicks for you? Like, was it just kind of been? I mean, you were Chucky Blaze for a long time, and now it's Michael Richard Blaze. Any other ones? Like,
name wise, that's about all I've had. I guess I've had like little evolutions in my character though over time.
Yeah,
like. Chucky Blaze, originally I just started as, like, literally a kid that, like, was just... I was honestly a fat kid that was bullied in school, and it was my first thing I'd ever done that I was confident doing. And there's my dog barking.
Sorry.
Anyway, though. Then evolved a little bit, and I kind of became, like, this punk rocker Chucky Blaze, which is probably a lot of what you remember.
Yeah, well, I remember the small, the you still working with Brandon, still kind of the chubbier guy. I do remember that, but you were starting to evolve out of it when you were getting into
pretty good. And then evolved to, like, this punk rocker guy, and then finally, at one point, because, like, I wanted to for so many years, and everybody said I couldn't do it, turned heel and became God's gift to wrestling, and then that evolved to what I am now, which isn't kind of cocky still God's gift to wrestling, but a lot nicer to everybody.
Well, I know there's a contingent of fans, at least in Edmonton, that even when you've turned heel, like, since you've come face and turned heel, we don't boo you. Simple as that, because we have that pure respect that you're that good, we can't boo you.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Alright, so family wise, what do they think of you and this? I know you said your grandparents paid for your wrestling school, so it sounds like they're supportive of what you're doing in your career.
My whole family and, like, everybody around me has always been very supportive of wrestling, and I think it's because a lot of people in my family look, they kind of look at it as like, oh, he's actually, like, trying to follow his dream, so if we can make this a reality for him, then we should.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to have the family behind you, like, in anything you do. So you evolved through to becoming Michael Richard Blaze. One of the angles I want to talk about is working with Azrael.
Yep.
You're still Chucky Blaze at the time. You became your bodyguard, doing essentially the Shawn Michaels Diesel gimmick. How was that, getting to work with Azrael, doing that and going through him as a team and then breaking up? How was that?
I think it was really good for both of us, because when maybe not many people, like, realize it, but he literally started with me. Like, he trained at Lance Storm School, and then right after he graduated, he was with me. And so I think it helped me a lot, because it gave me the ability to have a heater, as we call them, and get the fans to hate me a lot more, which is hard when you do, like, a flashy style.
Oh, yeah. I do. Yeah, then, come out of nowhere style, yeah.
And then, like, tagging with them was cool, because it was a different dynamic than me and Brandon, which I hadn't done before, where it was, like, very much I had to be the chicken shit, and he was the guy that came in and cleaned up my mess.
Yeah.
And then the breakup, again, was a really cool thing for me, because I think I helped him along in getting better in the ring as just a performer himself, which was cool. It was the first time that I feel like I ever actually, like,
influence,
taught
yeah.
a person in a way in the ring. And then also the fact that for me, I had never had to do matches like that before, where I was, like, obviously the smaller guy by a lot, but I was still the heel, so I still had to be in control, things like that.
Yeah, that was a fun kind of a lot about watching it.
I could sit there, I could cheer as much as you want. That crowd was so behind Azrael when he came, when you two broke up and he broke out as a face. He was you got him over to that crowd, which was the main thing I thought in that whole deal, was getting him over to that.
I also feel like you guys always cheered me, but I think that cage match is kind of the one that turned me for everybody else, was what started turning me, because I think people saw how like nuts I was going in that cage match and doing everything and to make his offense look good.
That last bump too, that was...
Yeah. It was like after that, I feel like a lot of people were all like, we just can't boo him anymore.
I think for a lot of people at that point, that was that turning point where it's like, he can do anything in that ring. We got to respect this guy, I think is what it was. So, you've worked a lot with Brandon Van Danielson and Marky. Lately you've been working a lot with Colton Kelly last year and working with Brett Morgan recently a few shows.
Yep.
Working with Brandon and Marky, it must feel kind of like an old glove putting it on, getting into the ring with them, right?
Very much so. They're probably... Those two and T-Bone Jack Sloan are the three guys I have the best chemistry with so far.
And we see you have, like, we honestly see you have a good match with that pretty anybody you get in the ring with. But
thanks.
But I haven't been disappointed anyways, and I know Mike and the other guys I'll say the same. But Colton Kelly, especially as I know how young he is in this business, what was it like working with him and being like how young he was in this business, getting to give him essentially his first huge push?
I really liked it actually, and it was like behind the scenes thing, it was something I asked for because I see a lot of potential in him and I think he can do very well. I see the same thing in like Fury. I see the same thing in Richie Rage.
Yeah.
And those are, I like wrestling those guys just as much now as I like wrestling Brandon and Mark, because I feel like I can help them and it makes me better by helping them as well.
Yeah, because you get to evolve your game, but also trying to help them bring their game up. So, okay, so does it make your game better? But I guess it does, so it does.
Yeah, definitely does, because just based on the theory of the better everybody else is, the better you're going to be.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, so let's get on to, you've had some great matches in PWA with the guys there, and a lot of guys have been brought in. So far, what have been some of your favorite matches that you've gotten to work, like in the PWA or anywhere else?
I think my absolute favorite match I've ever had so far is the Iron Man match me and Brandon Van Danielson did, because I don't think anybody actually expected us to be able to go an hour and go as hard as we did and actually keep the crowd for that entire hour, to the point that Andy Anderson, who usually doesn't break any sort of like thing on social media, made a point of posting a tweet that like we did the business proud and it was very good.
Nice.
And after that, the next one obviously is Christopher Daniels last year at Night of Champions.
Very good match, got to witness that live.
And then other than that, there's
a lot of good ones out there, but they're just,
yeah, there's lots of like lots of matches, but maybe the next one after that, like, if I had to do three, would be me and Marky at Fright Night in 2007.
07?
Yeah. Because it was, finish was powerbomb off the top through, we had the chairs at Nate.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I remember, it just took me a minute to think back, because that's a long time. That's
because it was, like, my first big singles match in PWA, and I went into it, and everybody was booing me and chanting that I'm not as good as Marky.
Okay, yeah.
And then by the end of it, they were cheering for both of us, so it was like, that was my coming out in PWA.
Okay, I do remember that match. I was at that point, I went to Night of Champions, and I skipped the next couple, and then I went to Fright Night, and I've seen that was just... Like, you and Marky together, anytime you step in that ring, it's pure magic, I'll say that, because sitting with Mike, with the crew I sat with, we can all let ourselves go and just like, this is going to be great.
Sweet.
Even with Brandon, the same with Brandon, too. It's like, and like, we got to see with that whole Brett Morgan feud you had over the past few months. I thought probably one of the best feuds you've had in a long time, too, because it's just so intense between the two of you.
Yeah.
And he's evolved very well as a heel, I've thought, over the past little while, too, which is from when he kind of debuted a few months back to...
I think Brett's another one of those guys with, like, the other guys I said that has, like, a ton of potential. And the thing with him is he's also got a very good physique already, and he's... The only thing maybe with him is he'd be a little more confident in himself sometimes because he's a lot better than maybe he thinks he is, even though he also thinks he's perfect.
So. There's always those doubts in people's heads. They're always there. Okay, so you've been PWA for a long time, and you've gotten to see a few of the guys go up. Move on from PWA to, yep. And Matthias Wild and Jinder Mahal as two of the example, or sorry, Tiger Rushing as the examples, as Jinder Mahal and currently Tyler Breeze in NXT. Yep. What was it like to see them go on to what I know probably is your dream job, essentially?
Oh, I think it's awesome. Like, Tyler Breeze is my favorite guy to watch on NXT right now, and the entire time, Jinder, like, I love watching the three-man band stuff because...
Oh, it's so funny.
So funny, and, like, he never did anything like that here, so it was completely new for me to see, which was super cool.
I found the three-man, he played it so straight, yep. Where the other guys were so ridiculous, he was that straight man to the three group, and I thought he played it so well.
Yep.
And then Tyler Breeze, he's been killing it. Like, Finn Balor only a couple weeks ago on live on the network, that was an amazing match. So,
oh, yeah.
Getting to see friends of yours, guys who you've worked with, it's pretty good to be awesome. And I'm hoping for you, it's soon for you, I really do.
I always enjoyed working matches with Matthias Wild and giving him some rough kicks, so... One day I got to do that with Tyler Breeze.
I want to see a MRB kick to Tyler Breeze or whatever they have to call you at that point. Because, you know, they want to own the names.
I don't know. Samoa Joe managed to keep his.
Yeah, you never know. So, a few years back, I heard you went down to the States to do a camp. And what was that like?
It was just like this seminar camp thing in Charlotte, North Carolina for the NWA Legends Fan Fest.
Okay.
And it was with Dr. Tom Pritchard, was the main trainer. And TJ, when TJ first went down to WWE, Dr. Tom was the one that ran the developmental.
Okay, yeah.
So I always, like, got told how awesome Dr. Tom was. So as soon as I saw it, like, there was an actual seminar you could go to that was more than a day because it was 4 days long.
Yeah,
I jumped all over it, and then I also got lucky that, like, after I signed up for it, the next day they announced Tully Blanchard as a trainer.
Wow.
Then Les Thatcher, then Jerry Briscoe, so...
You got to go work in front of some legends there.
Yep.
So, like, that must have been in a whole lightning thing for your career to get to them to teach you at least something.
Oh, it was great. Like, I came back with, like... fairly different mindset on wrestling and a lot more confidence in myself because I also got lucky enough that I won the Reed Flair Memorial Scholarship that year. They chose me as the best in the, like, seminar camp.
Oh, nice.
So, lots of confidence out of that. And I also got to work both of the shows that weekend they did in front of, like, crowds of 500 people. Nice. And so now I actually have, like, I still have fans that message me from North Carolina on Facebook and stuff, and it's like, that's across the country, like, and below.
It's like across Canada and then south of the States. It's a lot. That's pretty big, man. I just remembered that. So I was like, I had to bring it up. I figured I had to bring it up on here and get it at least on there. So you wrestling, you watch it every week, or how's it for you watching wrestling today? You still watch it, like, every Monday, or...?
I watch more wrestling than maybe any human other than Boris. Because there's not a day in my life that goes by where I don't watch something that involves professional wrestling. I watch Raw every week. I watch SmackDown every week. I watch NXT every week. NXT, like, religiously I watch every week.
That's the one show I don't miss every week, too.
Every pay-per-view we have, we watch it. And then...
I'm guessing you signed up for the network when it was available?
Yep.
As a wrestling fan, you kind of have to.
Yeah. And then always watching a lot of indie wrestling too, like Ring of Honor. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is absolutely one of my favorite companies to watch.
Nice.
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, very, very good companies, all with world-class talent, too. You definitely want to try and get there, because those are guys, like, before you go to WWE, they're some of the best in the world, those companies.
I would love to wrestle for PWG. It's the coolest looking atmosphere ever.
Yeah.
It's like watching... Every show is, like, 400 fans that are, like, exactly, like... The best fans at our shows, like you guys, like every show is 400 of those.
I wish we could have that 400 of those at all our other shows. At all our shows, then it'd be great. No, okay. So obviously WWE is your dream. Do you have any other dreams or aspirations before, say, like to go to Japan, to go to ROH or something like that? Do you aspire to, even if you get a chance at that? Would you take it in an RP? Did we get a shot to go work at those kind of places?
Oh, if I ever got a shot in those places, I would take it in a heartbeat. Like, I would love to go work for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I would love to go work for Ring of Honor. I would love to, like, even just go to England and work for Brian Dixon All-Star Wrestling. Do the, like, tour around there, Butlins, or, like, all the guys from England you ever hear.
We gotta work, doing. You work in the same, so you maybe work the same place, like, work a show every night in front of some of the same crowds, too. So you gotta learn to change it up.
But, like, the ultimate goal is WWE, obviously, so...
Well, most wrestlers, that is the big goal.
So, like, everything else, I kind of look at it as, like, I'm gonna try for it all, and if it happens, it happens, but... WWE is what I'm really, really, really pushing for, and so if that comes before everything else, I'm going to take WWE.
Oh, no, that's right. It's what you've dreamed about since you were a kid, simple as that. The other stuff is just another stepping stone to make you better for the WWE, essentially, right? Yeah. So, if you weren't able to make WWE, Japan and somewhere else would be another big dream then, to get to go work there. So, if WWE for some reason fizzled out,
for sure,
Japan or somewhere else would be it.
If for whatever reason WWE doesn't happen for me, the ultimate goal after that is just I need to make a living as a professional wrestler, because I can't think of anything else I'd be able to do with the rest of my life and feel, like, completely happy about it.
Makes sense. It's wrestling's what been your blood ever since.
Pretty much.
So, let's talk about NXT for a second.
Yep.
And what are your thoughts on the way it's been treated as a brand? It's becoming its own brand now, not just a developmental territory. Yeah. It's got its own show. They're touring now throughout the States, not just in Florida anymore. What do you think about NXT and its expansion, especially with all the guys they've picked up, and its explosion to what it's become over the past, say, year?
I think it's great, because, like I said, every week I make a point of, like, religiously watching it, and it's such a good show, and... They have such good guys there right now, and the more they get to travel and wrestle, the better they will all get to go up to Raw and SmackDown. And personally, for me, hopefully when the time comes and I'm able to get myself down there,
I truly believe it will happen.
Hopefully.
I do, anyways. Yeah, I do believe it got there. And I think with its touring, it gives you guys this ability to go... They're getting used to working on the road versus just working in Florida all the time. Versus working in different places, you're getting reactions from different people too, which is the main thing you want. So Global Force Wrestling is emerging now. They're starting their tapings this summer. Do you think it's going to help kind of bring more to what wrestling is, or do you think it's kind of overinflation of wrestling in North America right now?
I think the more places for guys to show their craft and get good work and make a living, the better. So I think it will ultimately be good for pro wrestling.
Especially if he does get on a TV deal too. That's another TV for guys to get their faces out there for everybody too. And what do you, because you've worked with Harry Smith, what do you think about him going to work for Global Force Wrestling?
I think it's awesome. Harry and Archer are a really, really good tag team, and I think Global Force Wrestling is really smart to use them. And same with, like, Bullet Club, same with the Young Bucks. So, like I said, the more the more work for people and the more ways for them to make a living. And like, Harry gets to go work for Global Force Wrestling in New Japan and Ring of Honor and make a living wrestling, so it's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so, okay, here's where I'm going to go back to, here's some, if you had to pick any one wrestler, not in PWA now, on the local scene, like locally, like maybe working in Alberta right now, or maybe Saskatchewan, you can add Saskatchewan and BC too, so I know there's a lot of promotions out there, but not worse wrestling PWA right now. Who would you want to work with? Because I know there's a lot of promotions around, and especially in BC and Saskatchewan too.
Ooh.
Or maybe not former PWA guys either, but you know, guys you haven't never got a chance to work with in the local scene kind of deal. So any,
I'm gonna go to Saskatchewan for that one.
Okay.
I just did Spring Meltdown for High Impact Wrestling.
Okay.
Out there, made my debut for them, and Alexander Prime, which I believe he works for RCW.
I think he's done two shows for them.
Really, really, really good, and I would really like to work with him. And then Mike McSugar out there as well is really good. And I've always heard that, like, everybody thinks me and Mike McSugar are, like, fairly similar wrestlers, apparently. So I think we would have, like, a pretty cool chemistry.
Sweet. Okay, so just, I just want to know, anybody outside in there, going even outside the province, which is really nice to hear. Okay, here we go. Legends, big time wrestlers, living or dead. You know, go to the WWE, big time wrestlers. Who would you want to work with, living or dead? Oh, who would be your guy? I think I have a feeling, but
well, I'll give you three.
Okay, three, great.
Because number one is going to be like current and like the 100% obvious answer that I hope happens is TJ.
Oh yeah, obviously.
I really want to have a match with TJ, and it's the one match that I'm like, this should have happened, and it didn't, because we were booked to do a match for Stampede Wrestling, one show, and it got changed.
Oh, jeez.
And then two is probably Bret Hart.
Well, yeah. I was figuring that'd be on your list, because he's inspiration, so.
Yeah, literally just because he's, like, my childhood hero.
Oh, for sure.
And also, like, probably one of the best wrestlers, if not the best wrestler, when it comes to like pure technique and psychology. So I would learn a crap load working with him. And then number three is Shawn Michaels, because he is probably ultimately overall package the greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah, he has some of the best charisma anybody's ever seen in that ring, and he's done some of the best things in that ring that I've seen anybody do.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to argue that he's not one of the best in the business, ever to wrestle in this business. Okay, so, outside of wrestling, what do you, like, I know wrestling's a huge part of your life, but is there anything outside of wrestling that you currently do, like hobbies, other things, like, or is your life purely wrestling?
My life mostly is, like, purely professional wrestling, because, like, my biggest hobby outside of wrestling is probably weightlifting. And weightlifting, though, is very much geared towards professional wrestling for me. So.
Well, there you go. That's fine. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, okay, so, yeah, life's all about wrestling. It's everything. And that's what I hear from, that's what I've heard from a lot of guys I've talked to. It's
my life is pretty much all wrestling and all my fiancé. Like, those are the two things I put all of my effort towards.
There you go. So, coming up July 4th, we have Night of Champions 13. And announced at Adrenalize, it's going to be you and Samoa Joe.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on facing Samoa Joe at Night of Champions?
Well, one of my thoughts was, as soon as I saw him debut on NXT, I think it's really, really cool that A, PWA can say they are the first company in at least 15 years to be able to promote a current signed WWE wrestler, and I will be the only guy in this area that's able to say I wrestled a current signed WWE wrestler. The opportunity is huge, and then after that, it's sort of the same situation as last year, where I'm looking at it very much as like a chance to prove myself to somebody that is better than me.
Okay, so what do you feel a win over a former TNA World Champion, ROH World Champion, PWA Hall of Famer What do you think a win over... If you get a win over him, what do you think that means for your career? Is that win to, like... What does that mean for you? Like, you as a wrestler, and what could it mean for help your, with your career?
I think if I get a win over Samoa Joe, it further proves that I am as good as I say I am. It further proves that... Where I just said that I get to prove myself to someone who is better than me, if I beat him, it proves that I am just as good as he is.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Definitely, definitely. And I know I hope we see you win over Samoa Joe, because I... On the last edition of me and Ryan, the last edition of the podcast, me and Ryan spoke on the Adrenalize Fallout,
yep.
And we even said that is going to be our main event of the evening. Simple as that. I know probably Brandon and Dennis and Mephisto are going last,
yep.
But sorry to say, you guys are for sure mine and Ryan's main event of the evening.
Cool.
Do you have any other thoughts you'd like to express to Samoa Joe, to any of your fans, anyone listening on? Before your matchup at Night of Champions.
July 4th at Night of Champions, Samoa Joe is coming into my home, my turf, in front of my fans. And he always comes around hearing, Joe's gonna kill you. And if he thinks he's going to get, Joe's gonna kill you, and he's just gonna go through me and kill me that night, he's got an entirely different thing coming.
Nice. Well, Mike, thank you so much for sitting down and doing this with me. I really appreciate it. I wish you the best of luck at Night of Champions. I will be there in the front row, as always, cheering my head off with the rest of my crew, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Yeah,
and stay awesome. Tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I enjoyed conducting that interview. That man is truly one of the best in the business, and I truly believe he will defeat Samoa Joe at Night of Champions. Speaking of Night of Champions, I'd like to talk about a match that was just announced for that show on July 4th. It is the return of the guaranteed title shot, and it will be contested in a ladder match. So last time I saw this match was a few years ago in Calgary, and it was contested under a gauntlet match. That match was won by, he became a future PWA champion in Azrael. Back then, he was the bodyguard for Michael Richard Blaze. Later in the night, after Azrael had won the championship, there was a three-way match between Chucky Blaze, now known as Michael Richard Blaze, Dylan Knight, and then champion Harry Smith for the PWA championship. That was won by Dylan Knight pinning Harry Smith. The crowd reacted pretty positively because Dylan Knight was a pretty big face at the time. So as Dylan Knight was exiting the ring after a celebration, out of nowhere, Azrael came down the ramp and blindsided Dylan Knight with a big boot. Azrael then did a game changer by handing his guaranteed title shot to Michael Richard Blaze, who cashed it in. I have never seen somebody give away a guaranteed title shot, but that was a huge thing at the time. So Chucky got in the ring and hit his knee to the head finisher to pin Dylan Knight and win the PWA championship. It was after that time that we did see Chucky Blaze evolve into the man we see perform today in Michael Richard Blaze. The thing is, this briefcase, it can change the landscape of PWA wrestling in just seconds. Simple as that. It changed MRB's career for the better. And Azrael, you could say maybe he made the wrong decision in giving it away, but he did eventually become PWA champion. He was just destined to do it. But this briefcase, whoever wins the title could become this title shot could become the next PWA champion.
it's you see it in the WWE. It truly anoints the next main guy. And this win on July 4th couldn't announce who is the next PWA champion in PWA. So coming up next is Mike the Ref with a preview of next week's episode of The Blown Call and a word from our sponsor.
Hey folks, Mike the Ref here with the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, giving you an update on what's coming up on the network in the upcoming month. Next Wednesday, June 23rd, we are going to have a special Blown Call show that is dedicated to the memory of one of the best promo men in the wrestling business, both inside and outside the ring, Dusty Rhodes. This show's topic will be the art of promotion, whether it comes to talking to some of our local sports teams and how they need to promote better, to how certain promotions promote extra special. And also, I will have a special interview with someone in the promo biz and dealing with our topic of the month, which is PWA, leading into the Night of Champions, July 4th. The name will be released this Monday, so check out the network on Facebook if you want some details ahead of time. Following that, on July 1st, Canada Day, we will have a debuting edition of the Wrestling Roundtable featuring myself, Andre C. of the Wrestling Clarity, The Wrestling Mind, Brian Hamilton, MRB 1.5, Ryan Passmore, and our special guest, Frenetico, in talking about the upcoming Night of Champions card coming up July 4th at the North Gate Lions Senior Center. Now, folks, we're going to be talking about this show, but don't forget, pick up your tickets, contact PWA, or contact us at the network. We'll be able to hook you up with the guys at PWA to get you tickets for this show, because you're definitely not going to want to miss it. And, folks, please remember to check out our sponsors, as they're the ones that help us keep us on the air here. Our biggest sponsor right now is our video on demand service presented by Monster Pro Wrestling Pivot Share. For only $4.99 a month, you not only get clips on previous Monster Pro Wrestling matches, but also full cards, which will also include the previous month's show. So if you have had to miss it in a couple weeks, all you have to do is pay $5 and you get to see the show. So please check it out. The website is monsterprowrestling.pivotshare.com. Don't you dare miss any of the action there, because there's going to be a lot of tips and tricks and treats on there. So, but with that, I'm going to send it back to Andre with the upcoming events on his Wrestling Clarity show on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Upcoming events.
As the jingle said, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the upcoming events. Friday, June 19th, there's a special free charity event for Food Truck Friday featuring live wrestling presented by Real Canadian Wrestling at the Crossroads Market, 1235 26th Avenue Southeast in Calgary, Alberta. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I will be present at that show, so take a look out for me. You won't be able to miss me. Saturday, June 20th, Revolution Pro Wrestling presents Super Slam featuring former WWE Diva and Playboy Playmate Ashley Massaro at the Norwood Legion Branch 178 in Edmonton, Alberta. Also the same day, Pure Power Wrestling presents Danger Zone from the Boys and Girls Club of Lethbridge in Lethbridge, Alberta. Friday, July 26th, RCW presents Summer Brawl at the Ken Nickel Regional Rec Center in Beaumont, Alberta. And the next day, Saturday, July 27th, RCW presents Revolution at the Festival Hall in Red Deer, Alberta. The next weekend features two shows in Edmonton. First up, on July 4th, Monster Pro Wrestling has a show at the Alberta Avenue Community Hall in Edmonton, Alberta. The same night, Saturday, July 4th, PWA presents Night of Champions at the Northgate Lions Senior Rec Center in Edmonton, Alberta, featuring God's Gift to Wrestling, Michael Richard Blaze versus WWE contracted superstar. He is a PWA Hall of Famer and a former TNA and ROH World Champion. He is the Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe. Also on that show will be a ladder match for a guaranteed title shot that could change wrestlers' lives. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. If you want to contact me, you can hit me up on Twitter at WrestlingCPod, or you can reach me by email WrestlingClarityPodcast@gmail.com. Send me your hate mail. Send me your goodwill mail. It doesn't matter. If you ever have an opinion on wrestling in general, please send it to me and I will talk about it here on the podcast, and I will make sure to reference who sent me the ideas. Thank you for listening, and please support indie wrestling wherever you are.
This has been Wrestling Clarity on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.